This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Billy Embody. With me, Ben Garrett in his Riverland Roofing Studio. Ben, how we doing, buddy? We got a big show today.
Good. We've got a ton of stuff. Keith Carter, Ole Miss Athletics Director, my guy. Inarguably, one of the most consequential signees in Ole Miss sports history. I just can't wait to get him on here and hear. He knows that I'm going to mess with him this entire time. But Keith is doing great work, man. And he's joining us today. Ole Miss has got a transfer commitment that just hit the wire as we started to record. So, yes, things are happening at Ole Miss. And here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, our friends at Riverland Roofing, they do so much for us. 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to talk to one of my favorite people around Ole Miss, Mr. Keith Carter, even though he'd probably say something a little different about me. You know, that's my guy. Whether he likes it or not, he's stuck with me. So,
well,
yes,
let's bring him in now.
Bring him in. Where is he?
Keith
there
Carter.
He is.
Welcome to the show.
Eric.
Thanks
hey,
for doing
Keith.
This.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Keith. How we do? Do you like that? The most consequential signee in Ole Miss sports history. Do you like that, or is that? Are you gonna be modest for me today? Is that what you're doing?
No, I think there's a few others out there that would probably shoot that theory down. But I'm glad I ended up here. Obviously, we'll take it.
It's worked out.
It worked out. Now you're the athletics director. How you doing? It's a busy time for you specifically, man. What's going on? What's really the top of your agenda right now?
Yeah, it's been, it's been a crazy, couple months, obviously, with, both of our basketball teams doing so well and making it to Sweet 16 and, baseball, softball off to great starts, all that stuff. So it's fun. I say it all the time, the fall gets a lot of the recognition because of football and the eyeballs and all that. But the spring is crazy busy just with so many events and sports going on and meetings and different things. But it's been fun and, doing all those things that we normally do in college athletics, but also trying to navigate, the crazy world that we're in with the portal and NIL and house settlement and all those things. So it's been an interesting few months for sure.
How much does the balance of worrying about or planning for that house settlement, rev share, all of those things take away from some of the daily that an athletic director was used to going through, on the job and doing all of the other things that cater to more of the student athletes and coaches?
Yeah, unfortunately, it takes a lot of our time. It really does. We spend so much time talking about and thinking through scenarios, and if this happens, we'll do this, and if this happens, we'll do that. And, I sometimes have to just kind of stop and try to be really intentional about getting out to a practice or getting out to see a coach or, the things that, we normally do out of habit, but we spent so much time thinking about, this new world we're living in, so much time fundraising, trying to, make payroll and doing all those type of things. And so it's taken over. And I think for us, we know that the house settlement is certainly not going to be like the end all be all, and it's not going to solve every problem, but it is a first step and a big step. So, we're hoping that Judge Wilkin, with the information that she got yet, I guess on Monday, she'll rule on that here shortly in the next, week or 10 days. And we can at least, we're going in that direction. We're ready for the rev share. We've spent a lot of time working on that with, you know, our administration here and the chancellor, and we'll be ready to roll with that $20.5 million. But you know, some of the other things that kind of go around that are what we're waiting to see, kind of how all that shakes out.
How will revenue share be distributed between sports? You get asked these same questions over and over, but I feel like now that it's coming to a head, you're actually going to get some type of clarity. Don't know exactly what kind of clarity we're going to get here, but like how will the revenue be distributed, and kind of how does the whole process work out for the fan that doesn't really know this? They just hear about it, right? There's a lot of moving parts with this. How does that all kind of work out?
Yeah, so, you know, we got the $20.5 million. In the SEC, every school actually use about $2.5 million off the top of that for new scholarships. So our number actually starts around $18 million to distribute from a revenue share perspective. And so we'll you know, obviously give each sport, you know, that has a revenue share a certain percentage. You know, most football schools are in that 75 to 80%. You know, basketball, men's basketballs are in that, you know, 15% or so. And then women's basketball and the rest of the sports have about 10% to kind of, you know, work throughout the rest of that. So we're kind of in those ranges too. We're not quite ready to say exactly what each sport's percentage is, but you know, our coaches kind of have those numbers and they're working off of those numbers as they build their rosters. So, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting, you know, interesting new world that we're living in. But yeah, I think we've been pretty good at being proactive and figuring things out and looking around the corner on stuff. And so I think we're right there with the rev share as well.
At what point do you think the market actually peaks, though? Has it already started to kind of correct itself and return to some semblance of normalcy, or is this just something that we don't know when the end point is, you know?
I think we're actually right in the middle of the craziest period we've had yet, because you know, you've got this window here before the judge rules that if these contracts get signed, you can front load a lot of these contracts before July 1st. And so you're seeing that around the country where people are trying to front load, get roster cap kind of out of the way, get some of these guys paid out so you don't have to use it against your rev share after July 1. So I think between now, what is it, April 16th, between now and July 1 is going to be the wildest of the Wild West that we've seen. Some of these numbers that are being floating around in men's basketball, unbelievable. You know, unbelievable. And you know, the market is going to bear it for at least a little while longer. So I do think we're starting to see a little bit of a correction. It's starting to come back down a little bit. And I think once the judge rules, we'll see some more of that. But you're going to see a lot of money flow here in the next 2.5 months for sure.
Well, one thing in college football that's been a huge story is the Nico story at Tennessee, and obviously the dynamics now at play, because we all knew something like this was going to happen. You and I have been talking about this kind of stuff for a long, long time. Holdouts and this, that, and the other. Has that, or, and Ole Miss has been through this with a player of their own, or, you know, Quinshon went through this, not to knock the kid, but he left, and there was some, this kind of negotiation stuff. But has that kind of experience, and then also the Nico deal itself, does it make you, the coaches, the Grove Collective kind of analyze or reassess how to structure contracts? What are the protections, if there are any, that can be made? I mean, how does that work from an administrative standpoint as you're trying to do the number one thing, keep the number one thing, the number one thing, and that's, you know, protecting the university?
Yeah, you know, and I don't know all the details with the Nico situation, but if indeed, you know, Tennessee kind of stood their ground like it appears that they did, I mean, good for them. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, that could have been a very precedent setting, you know, situation the other way, you know, if they'd kind of gone the other way on that. So, and again, I don't know all the details, but, you know, I think right now these contracts are kind of one-sided, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, are you going to sue a 19-year-old kid? I mean, you're not going to win in the court of public opinion on that, right? So,
right.
The student athletes have a lot of leverage, and I think, you know, with House and with, you know, hopefully some of the rev share contracts that we're creating right now, hopefully there'll be some language in there that's a little more binding on both sides. And if you got a 2-year multi-year deal, then, you know, if you're going to try to leave after the first year as a student athlete, then, you know, maybe there's some type of buyout, maybe there's some type of damage that reimbursement or, you know, something like that could come back, you know, to the institution. So, you know, I think that, again, the House settlement will solve a lot of problems, but these are the type of questions that we're going to have to figure out moving forward. You know, the question that you ask on these contracts, because there's got to be binding language on both sides, you know, similar to, you know, some of the other contracts that we see in college athletics. So we'll see if we can get there. But man, what an interesting situation up in Knoxville for sure.
When you have gone through what you've gone through with, you know, Coach Beard, you know, getting you know, rightfully come after the season that he's put together, you know, when you look at the contract that is where does that stand? I guess the contract that has obviously kept him here and been a piece of that, at least to keeping him with the program. Where do things stand with Coach Beard?
Billy, you've been around Ben. I can tell you're asking these questions that I can't quite give all the answers to yet, but
cool. We're fine with that.
No,
you hear what he says though, Bill. You hear what he says. You've been around Ben too long. Hey, he's saying Ginger Streck is a bad influence.
Hey, Ben and I have known each other since the scout days.
Questions trying to get to the heart of a matter, man. That's good. So, no, we can't quite you know give out the terms yet, but we're obviously in a great spot on that. We're working on the long form contract with Coach Beard and his representation. But you know, term sheet signed and all those things. So. We're in a great spot with Coach Beard. You know, it was an interesting process. You know, A&M made a great run at him, you know, obviously. But what was awesome is that Coach Beard wants to be in Oxford, you know. And I think that we saw something really cool with Coach Kiffin a few years ago when, you know, he said, hey, I have some other places I could be that want me to be there, but I want to be here. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some great benefit from just that stability, you know, of Coach Kiffin being here. And I think now we're starting to see that with Coach Beard as well, going into year three, you know, trying to put together a great roster. You know, there's something to that stability that helps programs really grow. And so we're excited about that. And, you know, me as an old hoops guy, you know, love what I'm seeing on the men's side and the women's side, you know, with what's going on over with Coach Yo. So good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as well. You mentioned Coach Kiffin having those opportunities, but how cool was it to see him at Meet the Rebels open up like that and talk about what Oxford means to him and just that's got to make you feel even better about where you know the long-term future is with a guy like Coach at the helm.
Yeah, those were great comments. I mean, but you know, they didn't really surprise me because I'm around him all the time and I hear him talk like that and I hear him talk about just how much he's enjoying Oxford now. And obviously, you know, his daughter comes here for her senior year of high school and has been, you know, here at Ole Miss and, you know, with Knox coming in town soon and all those things, like Chris Kiffin on our staff now, which is awesome having Chris and his family here. So I think that, you know, those are comments that I love for him to say publicly because I think it makes our fan base, you know, realize that he is a part of us now and wants to be here. But, you know, I wasn't surprised at all because I'm around him and I hear him talk just about how much this place has grown on him and how much he loves Oxford and Ole Miss. So I think we're just getting started with him and that program and some really cool things I think that are going to happen.
I do think that Ole Miss fans need to understand too, Keith. I mean, it's a different era for Ole Miss sports. It's been a century since a coach has left for another, quote, big school. I think Ole Miss is now in the big school tier. It's there within that blue blood tier too. Like they've left under their either been fired or something like that, but they haven't left to – you know, in a pine box to go to Auburn in a long, long time. So I think that's something, says something about both administratively walking, how you're all walking in lockstep, but also just how Ole Miss has been elevated. And a lot of that has come with you as the athletics director. I'll give you your flowers. I'll gas you up and tell you you've done a hell of a job. You know, you can say, Ben, your hair is nice or something, but it's whatever you want to say. But I think that's something that needs to be acknowledged. You know, like the Ole Miss hasn't lost a coach that it wanted to keep in a century.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. And you know, we're working hard. We do want to build our brand. We do feel like we have become a destination place, you know, and that doesn't just you don't just get to say that. I mean, you have to work at it. You have to, you know, put resources into it. The fan base has, you know, had to step up and they have. They've been great as they've always been. You know, the chancellor. I mean, what can I say about Glenn Boyce? I mean, he's been an unbelievable partner in this and understands, you know, the value of athletics. And obviously, and certainly we're not the most important thing at the institution, but a lot of times we are the most visible. And he understands that branding and that marketing, you know, you really can't put a dollar figure on that. And so that's been great. You know, record enrollment, just, you know, the institution's just in a really good spot right now. And so, you know, our goal, and I've said this publicly a lot, is like, you know, getting kind of to the plateau and to the peak is one thing. But when you kind of get there, and we've still got a lot of work to do, guys. I mean, we want to get in the playoff. We want to get to the Final Four. We want to win more national champions. Like, we haven't arrived at all. But it is harder when people start to notice and you become more of the hunted rather than the hunter. It's harder to stay there. So our goal is to not have these peaks and valleys that we've had in Ole Miss athletics over the years. We want to stay at the top and continue to, put our name right there, as we talk about winning, SEC and national championships.
I love that answer. It is a very athletics director answer, but the dude who jumped on the scores table at Arkansas would have said, I mean, you just got the single greatest accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history match. This is something you and I have been talking about for 15 years, Keith. So I know that y'all haven't arrived. You're always working to do more, but dang it. You can, do like Chris Beard says, like look around and smell the flowers a little bit. That's all I'm going to say. All right. You talked about it, Meet the Rebels, Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, and whatever you might have to do as far as renovations and what all entails with that specifically. What are the plans? I'm not asking you to go into too great a detail because you got to keep stuff under the hat, but we know Vaught-Hemingway Stadium is kind of four sections jammed together, and finding a long-term plan to get it to where you want it to be has been an issue many an athletic director and senior administrator has had to try to figure out. So what is kind of like the end goal? What's the plan in terms of making Vaught-Hemingway Stadium what you want it to be, whatever that might be?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a hard code to crack, really, mm-hmm. because you've got concrete in that building that was poured, 100 years ago, really. And so, we're looking at some things, and kind of what I alluded to on Saturday was the fact that now with RevShare and, not knowing exactly, where we're going to stand with that, we're learning more, and we're getting more at peace with kind of what that's going to look like. But, we had the plan with the West Side a couple years ago, and, had to put that on the shelf just because, of the NIL space and not knowing. But, our goal is now probably in the next 6 to 12 months is to go back in and take a pretty hard look at the stadium. See if that west side is where we need to continue to focus on, or the north end zone. And then one of the things that I mentioned on Saturday was that, there's a lot of money on the sidelines right now in the private sector that people are looking for return on investment. They're looking to get involved with college athletics. And I'm not interested at all in really, diving into the private equity world where you're kind of selling your athletic department to a big firm. But certainly private investment is something that could happen, and I think we're doing some creative things on campus with, building some residential, some housing for students with the public-private, situation. And I think, athletics could be the same. So we're looking at that, and, it's something that, it's going to be hard for us to roll out a $300 or $400 million capital campaign in this, yeah. in this environment, so we're going to have to get creative in that space. But we certainly know, we feel like, you look across the landscape of most of our facilities, we're in pretty good shape. Obviously new softball, we're doing a lot over at the Gillum Center here soon. TUI Centers is great, Pavilion's great, indoor tennis, baseball stadium, obviously with the new performance center there. But the stadium's kind of the one place that we've allowed to get a little bit dated in certain areas. And as you mentioned, Ben, we'd love to make it kind of look more uniform if we could at some point, across the whole stadium. So I think that's kind of our next, our next voyage. We're going to jump in there and try to look at the stadium, but we'll have to do it strategically. And as I mentioned Saturday, it would be incredible if we could do it with another, revenue stream out there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. As a personal preference, what do you kind of see the future of college football stadiums going as? You've got some of these 100+ thousand seat stadiums, but people seem like they want the premium, they want the loge, or they want this or field access. How does that kind of factor into obviously your overall planning, but also just do you have personal preferences on kind of what you'd like to see for the Vaught?
Yeah, I don't think we need to grow a whole lot. I mean, we're 66,000. I mean, maybe we add a few seats to get it up over 70, somewhere in there. And I think the premium is certainly important. I mean, I think our fans love the premium. You probably saw our announcement about the Founder Suites that we're going to put over on the west side, and we've had a lot of positive response for that. But also, guys, let's be honest. Like, if we keep going, we're going to price a lot of people out. You know, I mean, this thing, we keep asking people for more and more and more. And, you know, we need it. I mean, the world we're in is crazy. When you add a $20.5 million line item in a given year, I mean, it has to come from somewhere, crazy. Right? But at the same time, like, we understand, like, people want to bring their families to games. You know, they want to come and enjoy being there. And you can't charge a premium for every ticket. And so at the same time, we've got to find a way to balance that to where we're adding some premium to kind of cover some revenue and do those type of things, but also make sure that we're allowing, you know, spaces for families and young people. And, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to price a lot of young people out that just can't come, you know, and then what do you do in 10, 15, 20 years when you don't have any fans, you know? So we've got to make sure that we find that right balance as we grow the stadium. And again, I don't think it's, you know, going to 80 or 90,000. But we can strategically, hopefully, find that right balance between the premium and making sure that we don't price people out as well.
Well, I will say, I mean, y'all haven't really raised ticket prices throughout all of this stuff, which I think, at least from my vantage point, I haven't really asked you about it, is Ole Miss understanding the burden that the fan is kind of taking on and trying to provide some type of relief, because it is, in a lot of ways, all on the fans and a constant daily ask for them. So was it... you know, not raising those ticket prices, you know, to any kind of crazy level. Is that just administratively a philosophy that you're trying to maintain and preserve to make things more affordable for the everyday fan? Or like, what went into that thought process, and how do you kind of keep, like you said, the fans that you don't like that can't pay for the premium? They just want to show up to a game and go like the old days. How do you not price them out? I mean, is it just a matter of, we refuse to move that ticket price, and we'll figure it out other ways? I mean, what's kind of been the thought in the administration room?
Well, I think that we're you know, the goal would be to always have a price point in the stadium somewhere that's affordable. You know, affordable in our world that we're in now. I mean, we don't want to charge a premium price for every single ticket that's in there. Now, our capital gift agreement, those this is going to be the last year for those. And so we will come out for the next year moving forward for probably a 5-year cycle with some new pricing on both football and basketball. But our goal, even within that, while some of the prices will go up, is to make sure that we do create a price point that, you know, folks can get access to. So, again, guys, we think about it every single day. We look at our balance sheet and we say, hey, we got to pay these bills. And if we want to be competitive and win, we have to do this. But at the same time, man, can we go back to the fan again and say, you know, we need you to do X? And so we're fighting that battle every day. I hope our fans understand that. And we appreciate our fans. I mean, we really do. Like, I say that all the time. Like, the best thing about Ole Miss are our people. And the fact that we may not have a T. Boone Pickens or a Phil Knight that's just going to stroke a check for $1 billion. But we have a group of fans that I would not trade for any in the country. I mean, really, people have stepped up. We do it kind of in mass, and it's been awesome. And all the way back to my fundraising days in the foundation, like, it's been great to see our people step up. And believe me, all this success that we talk about and the things, you know, Keith, you're doing a great, none of that happens without our fans doing what they do. There's no doubt about that.
Now, it'd be nice if a billionaire Ole Miss Rebel, you know, gave $1 billion. I mean,
this would be the time to do it now. You're out there and you're listening, fan X or whoever you are, like, this would be the time to stroke that check, because we could sure put it to use right now.
Well, all I'm saying is, if I do ever win the lottery, I asked you this years ago on this podcast, can I get something like a toilet in the stadium named after me, like the Ben Garrett left side toilet? I mean, I'll give $1 million just to get that. I don't really care where it goes. You know, I just want my name on something.
I was a toilet, maybe like a urinal. How about a urinal?
Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can figure something out, Ben.
Thank you, Keith. That's all I want. For somebody who's been saying, one of the Mount Rushmore Ole Miss Rebels in basketball, gassing you up. You know, all I'm asking for is not even he's upgraded me to a urinal already. Can you hear him, Billy?
That exposure alone is, you know, just the Ben Garrett for the spirit.
The Ben Garrett West Side toilet is fantastic. I love it.
I'm going to talk to our development folks and make sure we save you something when we do that.
I'm sure you will, Keith. I'm sure you will.
You've gotten the chance to maybe get out to spring football a little bit. Take us behind the gates if you can. What are your impressions of Ole Miss football? Because we get a little bit of time, but not too much. You've probably been back there a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I of course, you know, I think Coach Kiffin and the staff have you know taken the program to a level now that we're kind of reloading every year. You know, it's not really a rebuild. It's just we're adding great talent every year, and you know they've been so good in the portal. This freshman class that we put together this year was what, top 15 or so. You know, it's interesting when you go out though, and especially in football with the helmets on, they don't have the, you know, the names on the back of the practice jersey. Like I'm learning basically the whole roster, you know? And so I'm just like everybody else. I'm asking, you know, Thad and Billy Glasscock and Ken Crane, like, now who's that? But I think again, you look at, you go out there and you just look at the size and speed of our guys. I mean, we're an SEC program now. You know, I mean, we are a year in, year out. We're going to have some dudes out there that you run around. They're going to play in the NFL soon. And, you know, it's just really cool to see, you know, what Lane and the staff have been able to do. And now there's a new standard. You know, I think 10 wins and, you know, getting to the playoff, that's the next goal, obviously, is get into the playoff. And we're right there. So it's been fun to see. I'm as anxious as anybody to get to know, you know, the young men and spend time around them. But it's been cool to get out there a few times this spring to check them out.
Lane, like the change in Lane, Ole Miss is just in a really good place. And it's really cool to see the growth, especially considering where it started, right? Because you had to take a big swing back then. I mean, that was a big, big swing you had to take. But to see it pay off this way and to see him really lay down that those roots, I don't want to say gratifying, whatever, but it's got to be at least a pretty cool thing to see the vision come into, you know, become reality in a lot of ways, like the most optimistic vision, right?
Yeah, it's been great. And, you know, what's interesting, and I think back a lot, and you know, I've been in, this is my sixth year, you know, I made that hire a week into my tenure, you know, and I don't know half the answers now. I sure didn't know the answers back then. And, you know, I think I did know, though, that we needed somebody to come in that was going to give us a charge, as you mentioned, that was going to galvanize the fan base. And, you know, we needed to win the press conference. We did. And you know, when you hire somebody, you want somebody that ultimately is going to win games, you know, even if they don't maybe win the press conference, but they're going to, you know, they're going to be somebody that's going to come in and get it done on the field. But I felt like we kind of needed both at the time. You know, we needed something that would give us an immediate jolt, but then somebody who could follow that up, too. And so, you know, it's been great. And I've told Lane this, you know, sitting with just him, and I've said it publicly a few times, like, you know, obviously we've seen what's happened on the field and we have enjoyed that. And it's been awesome and huge wins and, you know, New Year's Six bowls and all those type of things. But man, I couldn't be more proud of just Lane personally too. And just to see, you know, what he's been able to grow as a person and grow as a family man and, you know, grow into our community. And, you know, it kind of makes me, I'm a little bit emotional about it because it's been really fun to see. And, you know, that was my goal from day one with Lane is like, hey man, just, you know, embrace this place. This place will embrace you back. And we're seeing that now. And so it's been really fun. And I truly believe that stability and him, you know, kind of living where his feet are and all those things is going to allow us to take this program to heights that we really haven't seen yet. So I'm excited about that. Love all the things we've accomplished, but I think if he was on here too today, he would say, man, we're just getting started and we want to win a bunch more games.
Well said.
You can work on getting him on the podcast for us too.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't have that much sway, yeah. Guys. I'm sorry.
I will say this, Keith, I threw it out to Kyle Campbell and he immediately said, don't worry. You're not the first one to try this. I was like, hey, let's take a camera. And Lane, let Lane put me through one of his yoga classes. That's his peace place. He wants to be that to be left alone. I just wanted to see how quickly I would throw up. You know, I thought.
Yeah. I've been invited to a yoga class as well, and I haven't gone yet. I did do a yoga class with him and Coach Sark when we were at SEC meetings down in New Orleans a couple months ago, and I survived that. But I haven't done the one here in Oxford yet. I heard it's pretty intense. So see, careful what you wish for there, Ben.
Well, see, I thought about, like, going to Coach Yo and just working. I wanted, like, Matty Scott to outbench me and outrun me and all this. Like, I think we just need to make me, like, Chris Farley of Ole Miss, you know, at this point. Let's just see how we can embarrass the shit out of Ben, right? I don't know. I think we're trying to break. Happy Easter, man. God bless you. You've been a great friend. Thank you for coming on this. As much as we like to – or I like to mess with you, you've been really good to us at the Spirit and to me personally. So, thank you, Keith. Keep doing your thing. We appreciate you, and let's talk again, yeah?
Yep, sounds great, guys. Really enjoyed it.
protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Welcome back to Talk of Champions. Really appreciate Ole Miss Athletic Director Keith Carter for joining us. Mm-hmm. That was fun. That was fun. But look, we're always presented by our friends at Riverland Roofing. Go to riverlandroofing.com for more info. Little house up top. There you go. GAF.
Yeah, they're a GAF sponsored roofer. You know, that's a big deal. They have like a lifetime warranty. Billy and them will take care of you. Billy Lennis, them over there at Riverland Roofing. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. They do so much for us here at Talk of Champions, so much for Keith and them over at in Ole Miss Athletics. We just thankful for them and also at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, if they have on three. And Keith jumps on today. Recruiting's been popping like crazy. We're about to get into a commitment that popped as we started recording. Where are you, if not at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, if they have on three? We hadn't talked enough about our site, man. That's the place to be. We do this all day, every day. I was going to do an all-day AMA. We're getting a little late in the morning, but dead gummit, we're there to talk and answer and just constantly be in the conversation about Ole Miss sports. So, man, come join us. We'd love to have you.
Well, and, of course, we talk about our friends at College Corner who, when you hit the link in this episode bio, it helps us out. So make sure you use that link to go check out their selection of Ole Miss swag. Some of these commitments, if they were back in the day, if they were high school, they'd be looking for a incredible Ole Miss hat to don as they pick the Rebels. Well, you can, too, find all the greatest hats on College Corner. Our friends with locations in Flowood, Ridgeland, and at the Oxford Commons. Beautiful store there to hit as you get into town. So make sure you check them out. Again, use our link so it helps us out. And get all your gear there from our friends at College Corner. Great swag for Ole Miss. Speaking of swag, Tavoy Fagan, the newest Rebel, comes in from Carrollwood Day School. And you know, Ben, that everybody who comes from Carrollwood Day School in Tampa, Florida has great swag, right?
I guess so. I'll take your word for it. I mean, you know all of the fits that the kids wear these days. Like, you're still kind of hip and cool, you know? Well, I don't understand what bussing means, no cap. My daughters talk in language that doesn't make – like, whatever skibbity toilet riz is, I don't understand it. That's how you know we're like the old men now. But fortunately, Bill, you're still kind of hip to the times. I don't even know if we still say hip anymore. So, yeah, sure. But Tavoy Fagan's a big ad. I mean, this is a guy we've been talking about here on Talk of Champions for a little while now. I was starting to get a little concerned because right when he hit the portal, I think it was a little over a week ago, close to 2 weeks, the word we were getting was this is going to move pretty quickly. Ole Miss is going to land him. It's a huge ad because not necessarily step in and start and be that dude like Trey Amos was. Remember, though, Trey at Alabama, at ULL, he was all-league, all-conference. He was incredible. Went to Alabama and became a nickel corner, and really the production dropped off there. Comes to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss developed him into an All-American. Tavoy Fagan doesn't have a lot of production on his resume right now from Clemson, but he's got years for Ole Miss to play with, and he steps into a room filled with opportunity. TJ Banks and Cedric Beavers, two returning players for Ole Miss that they love a lot. However, they're unproven, and behind them, Chris Graves, who's the transfer from Miami, been here a couple years now, he hasn't been healthy all spring. And Sage Ryan is more safety now at this point in his career than he is cornerback. Jalen Braxton, who was an All-American freshman at Arkansas at cornerback, is a safety now. So they needed a guy that was a true corner that could come in and really compete and push, and that's what you're seeing now with Tavoy Fagan coming in from Clemson, one that, again, got into the portal and immediately Ole Miss emerged as a serious contender. We started talking about him here on Talk of Champions. We've been writing about him in pretty much every portal needs for Ole Miss upcoming kind of stories. If you click on any of those and it's about defense, you'll probably see Tavoy Fagan mentioned, if not first, second, or third in terms of spring targets for Ole Miss football. And this is the first of what could be four defensive backs signed by Ole Miss in the spring portal, because sources indicate to us that that's exactly what Pete Golding is going for, at least four. So you got one on the board. You had to get the first one, and it's a good piece, I think.
At Clemson, I actually watched a lot of them this fall. They had a veteran secondary. They have a lot of talent. They're a program that kind of continuously recruits at a high level at that position. And so it's no surprise that there, when you don't have, in particular, portal ads coming in and recruiting over top talent, because Tavoy Fagan was a four-star prospect coming out of Tampa Caraway Day, which is funny enough where I went to high school. That was kind of the joke on the swag piece there, Ben. But Tavoy Fagan, went in there with the idea of redshirting and kind of developing under Dabo Swinney's staff and doing that. But you know, Clemson is seeing a little bit of that piece to the puzzle of the portal, where yes, they still are among the least programs in terms of seeing guys head out the door through the portal. But every now and again, you get a guy like Tavoy Fagan who maybe just wants to move on and find a different situation. And Ole Miss is a perfect fit for him because he can develop, because he can come in and provide immediate competition. And make no mistake about it, these Clemson defensive backs, they're developed well, they are coached well, they're generally put into this kind of pro development path under Dabo Swinney and staff. It's why they're able to not mess around with the portal too much and just develop high school players. But Tavoy Fagan leaves as somebody that, you know, Clemson probably is upset that he's out the door, because he's got the size, he's got length. And, you know, as just an aside here, if you've been following recruiting on the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, just $1 to subscribe and be on the message board with us, you know a familiar name to the 2026 class and somebody that Ole Miss is right there for when it comes to recruiting. And that's DJ Williams, a 2026 defensive back, plays wide receiver for Carrollwood Day, which has come a long way since I was in the high school ranks, just going through the development of that high school. I was a part of the first ever freshman class and first ever football team and was the quarterback. And since then, they've now become a prospect factory. And DJ Williams is a 2026 player who Ole Miss is heavily involved with, battling Miami. He's going to take an official visit by all indications. You know, for Tavoy Fagan to commit on the first day of the portal, and I actually asked somebody, so he announced his intentions to enter the portal a couple weeks ago, immediately on the Ole Miss Spirit we let everybody know that this is a guy to watch. You know, they've recruited South Florida kind of at a decent enough clip where you got to feel good that they have some relationships kind of built in on the backside of things to help them with it. But you just never know with that run of 2 weeks if Ole Miss was able to, you know, get him across the finish line. But Tavoy, somebody that's visited Ole Miss in the past, he didn't necessarily even need to do that. He just knew where he wanted to go. So for Ole Miss to get this so cleanly speaks to the continued commitment and kind of alignment between the football coaches and the Grove Collective, Walker Jones and them doing great work over there. But to Ben's point, you see what Ole Miss has in the secondary, and it's got to concern you a little bit, of course, because you had some guys nicked up. They've added some pieces to the puzzle throughout that December portal window, guys that I think can be contributors and do it at a high level, but you also have players that need to come in and help out. And that's what the spring portal window is about as a whole. So we'll be keeping a close eye on who else they go after in the portal, as it is getting crazy today. And already just my phone, I don't know about you, Ben, but yep. I keep the guys on alerts, and they're certainly keeping us busy as we go through this portal window.
Man, I really need the 4K, don't I? Good grief. Look at this idiot. My gosh. I forgot to charge us up today for the podcast, but man, it's been a fun one, dude. I'm really enjoying what we're doing here on the podcast at Talk of Champions. Search it wherever you get your podcast. Leave a 5-star review. Tell us, even if you say that, Ben, you know, your skin is really bad, please make it a 5-star review. And then go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of Ole 3. Keith was awesome. He always is. And yeah, he says, I embellish his accomplishments at Ole Miss. No, I don't. He was one of the best. Let him be humble. He's like, that's one thing when we were talking about with him, the Chris Beard stuff, you know, like Texas A&M was real. So was Arkansas last year. I don't think Arkansas was as real as Texas A&M this year. I don't think Arkansas was necessarily even as real as Indiana. I think Indiana really vetted him hard. The problem, I think Indiana, I don't want to get into all of those points, but anyway, it says a lot that Keith not only has survived, I mean, think about all the openings in basketball and football that have come open, and for Ole Miss to not lose its head coach when they're winning to such a high level, it's a different time. And there was never a doubt in my mind that Keith Carter, all-time Ole Miss basketball great, he wasn't going to let an SEC school come poach his coach, his hand-picked coach in his sport, right? And I just think, you know, it's a good example of where Ole Miss is and the different world they're living in. Now, they're not the richest. They're not the biggest, but they're among the most efficient. They know exactly they have a plan, and they're executing the plan. And sometimes it can get hairy, and sometimes it can get scary. But Ole Miss, it's an exciting time. And I think Keith has been at the forefront of that. And so is Chancellor Glenn Boyce. I think Glenn Boyce, who we got to get on this podcast soon too, doesn't get enough credit for how strong he's been for athletics, just supporting them and not getting in the way. And that's something that Ole Miss, that wasn't necessarily always the case, Bill. I mean, we had chancellors like Robert Kiat, who said, well, Dennis Erickson, you know, I don't like the way you're talking to me. Went and hired Ed Orgeron before, when he was just a defensive line coach at USC. It's just a different time. And I think Ole Miss fans, you should be encouraged, especially when you hear Keith talk about where things are going, even though you have to see me in all my non-4K glory right now as we wrap up here on Talk of Champions.
Quick thought here on the Division II All-American that Ole Miss got as well. Yes. We teased him on the podcast, and if you subscribed when we were teasing it, you were in the know.
You knew.
You just knew about it. You knew who it was. You knew that Ole Miss was moving quickly there. But talk about a great addition to the all-name team, and that is Trinidad Chambliss. And he led Ferris State to a national championship, and he now comes to Ole Miss with 2 years of eligibility remaining. A big splash here in a sense. AJ Maddox banged up at Ole Miss. Pierce Clarkson, a backup quarterback. They needed to add depth and talent to this position, and they go out and they get an intriguing guy in Trinidad, threw for 2,900 yards, 26 touchdowns, and also added over 1,000 yards and 25 touchdowns on the ground. That is pretty good, no matter what level you're at. And so now he can develop sit behind Austin Simmons, be an intriguing backup option. And maybe if Austin Simmons balls out and Trinidad is around in 26, you know, could factor in. But they needed to go out and add a backup quarterback. Like we said on day one of spring ball, that was something they were going to go out and do. And sure enough, Ole Miss did by landing Trinidad Chambliss on Tuesday.
It's a huge get. Number one, AJ Maddox is banged up. Like Billy said, he hurt his hand. I've heard broken hand. I haven't verified it, but he hurt his hand in a scrimmage. I think it was last Friday. He's in a brace. That complicates things. And Pierce Clarkson just really hasn't done much to stand out so far this spring. And even if he had, I mean, Chambliss is an improvement upon whatever gimmick they thought they were getting Pierce Clarkson to begin with. I think they just needed to get a body for spring. And not to say that Pierce can't be something for Ole Miss, but this is a player that improves upon him and can be a part of the present and the future. There's a multiple layers to this. I mean, Ole Miss has to protect itself against any and all possibilities and eventualities. And if Austin Simmons is everything Ole Miss thinks he's going to be, who's to say he doesn't play just absolutely ball out and is a one and done? He is draft eligible. I don't think that's going to happen. That is very unlikely. I think he's the quarterback for Ole Miss for at least the next couple of years. However, you have to plan for these things. You have to really think these things through and make sure that you're covered. And once AJ Maddox gets hurt and Pierce Clarkson is left in the room was taking on water. What was suddenly you were fine with it, didn't overspend for a Bo Prabilla from Penn State who ends up going to Missouri for $1.5 million because you have a guy on your roster in Austin Simmons and another one, AJ Maddox, that you really think are good players, if not better, at least comparable players to others that you might have considered at those high-end price points in the portal earlier this you know winter on into spring. But this is a big add, and it's for a number of reasons. One, he adds the rushing component, or adds to the rushing component that Austin is a good gliding runner. He's not the punisher kind of runner like Jackson Dart, but they would like to alleviate some of that, and he can run. Chambliss can really run. He rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Now it was D2, but still, I mean, a player is a player is a player. And against this competition, he put up over 3,000 yards passing and over 1,000 yards rushing and like 50 touchdowns. I mean, he was that good. And so he gives you immediately a replacement for AJ as he's on the shelf because he was having a good spring and really it appeased concerns about QB2. But the minute he gets hurt, you look around and go, wow, this room isn't what we thought it was necessarily, especially when you consider all the volatility of breaking in a first-year starter and all those things. So it's a big add, and they're not done. I mean, Tavoy Fagan was the first of, like we said, we think it's going to be at least four defensive backs that they are going to add in this spring portal. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them add a couple of offensive linemen either. I think Joe Cobb from South Dakota is one I'm keeping an eye on. There's real options for them in the spring to shore up what I think is obvious after – you know, well over a month of spring football, which is secondary, offensive line, and then late in spring, another viable quarterback option. Chambliss could come in here, and what if Austin Simmons isn't as good as Ole Miss thinks he could be? What if he doesn't deliver in year one, and yet Ole Miss is a little bit closer in other areas, and they're just a quarterback away? All of these things are all the considerations that coaches have to take into account, and Chambliss could be a winning player for you. So it's a big ad. It was a needed ad, and they're not going to be done. Stay tuned to the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On3. Me and Bill are going to be writing and talking about this stuff, hopefully back in 4K for me, because now that I've had it, I can't live without it. You know what I mean? Like, right? Now that I've had it, I don't want to go back to this. Now, the Riverland Roofing Studio is still quite charming. However, it's not in 4K. I mean, Billy, you have spoiled me.
I don't even have my contacts in, it feels like.
I know. I feel very grainy all of a sudden. My skin was already bad enough.
Like I'm trying to see a house for ants.
Yeah, so. I know. See, it kind of is, you know, the Riverland. There it is. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. We appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this special edition of Talk of Champions. Appreciate Keith Carter, Riverland Roofing, College Corner, and Status Jet, of course, for Ben Garrett. I'm Billy Embody. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for listening, everyone.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.